Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Are you ready?
Let's welcome in Bergen County's own, one of the most beloved Jets of all time, who over 11 seasons went from undrafted to the New York Jets Ring of Honor.
We hit Terminus!
Wayne Corbett, welcome to McCartan After Midnight, here on The Fan.
Thank you for having me.
How did your identity, who you are as a person, enable you to be, still to this day, revered universally by Jets fans everywhere?
Well, everybody loves the underdog story, you know, and me being local. I mean, I grew up 15 minutes from Giant Stadium, so I pretty much passed it thousands of times in my life. But, people kind of accepted me right away, like I said, as the underdog story. And I had a fan base right away. But then my parents had a tailgate, and it said the Society of True Believers. It was a big tailgate thing that started. But you know what? I remember growing up and seeing guys like Mark Bavaro, guys like that who fought for the extra yard and was, you know, pleasing to the crowd. So they kind of like accepted me, you know, and I loved that I was like kind of like that everyman that people could root for. So I would see guys on Harleys or guys in Mercedes wearing my jersey. So I was kind of like, you know, had a broad spectrum of fans.
Yeah. I got a question in from Twitter. Dave in White Plains wants to know, I mean, you were known for being so durable, and during your first 8 years of your career, you rarely missed any games. And he wants to know, what did you attribute that to? Because now you look today and there's so many athletes nowadays that need rest recovery time, or like, you know, basketball players taking a day off. Or
you want me to be honest with you? I played hurt. I just don't play hurt anymore. It's like, I remember guys like, oh, I don't feel 100%. Dude, you're never going to feel 100%. Once you start your career, like after the first couple games of the year, you're never going to feel 100%. Don't expect that. You know, I had injuries, and then once the concussions, that's mostly when I missed time. But guys don't really play hurt as much anymore. That's the fact. I was afraid to lose my job, you know, even though I had that security, and that's the way I played.
You know, a thought just popped into my mind, and this is obviously certainly not a knock on you. It's just a commentary on how the game is nowadays. But I feel that they have these millions of dollars invested in these players, and it's almost sort of like preventative.
Yeah. It seems that when people get that contract, things change. And, I'm not going to point to anybody because I don't know their business. Right. I don't know how they feel. Like, I'll never claim to know how people feel. But it just seems like sometimes once they get that money, they kind of, not that it's not important to them, things just kind of change as far as their mentality.
Right. So, hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL. You arrive in 1995, working your tail off to get here. Rich Kotite's your coach. Season 1, 3-13. Yeah. Season 2, 1-15. And as of recently, it's all coming back to light. Jets fans have read the articles, even the recent ones, about those seasons. But could you take me inside, you know, your helmet and your rookie and your sophomore seasons, and what did you see here?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, I came in and, you know, didn't get much time in training camp in preseason, and, you know, kind of just followed to the first game playing down in Joe Robbie. I wasn't as much paying attention to the record. I was just trying to make a name for myself and contribute to the team. And, you know, next thing you look up and it's a 3-13 season, and it's tough to go through that. But I was so focused on just earning my spot on the team and in the league, you know. And after the season, like, my friends were busting me. You guys went 3-13. I'm like, nah, don't worry, it can't get any worse. And then we go 1-15. And I'm like, Jesus, man, I'm like, this is pretty bad. And it's tough when midway through the season, you're already mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. At that point, you know, you're looking at each other, you're playing for each other, you know, you're playing to try to win a game, trying to do anything positive, but it's tough. You really, on a team like that, you know, they're going to bust it up. So you just have to play for your job. you know, play for your teammates and play for the fans. That's all you can do. And sometimes you can't do enough, and that's just how it was.
What or which player or players did you kind of feel aligned with that mentality that you had?
Most of the players were that way. You know, some of the younger players, it's just different with, you know, whether they've been some guys never been on a losing team. So it's tough for them. And some guys are used to losing. So, you know, myself, you know, we had a good team in college. I wasn't used to losing that much. But like I said, at that point, I was just trying to focus on contributing the best I could and like having a job going into year three.
A lot of people look at the record and they're like, oh man, that sucks, you know, but like, what's one thing that you wish fans would know about those seasons?
They should know that it hurts us a lot more than it hurts them. I know they're like, you know, I spend a lot of money on jerseys and memorabilia and gear and this and that. And I understand that, you know, I was a Giant fan growing up and I was a Jet fan growing up. So I've been through those rocky times, but just understand, listen, we're trying our best. You know, if the effort's there, which I think it is right now, and things aren't panning out, a costly penalty loses the game. A costly turnover loses the game. I mean, they haven't been, you know, some games they've been blown out, but there's some games they could have probably won if, you know, the ball kind of like went their way. But the fans should just understand that we're trying. It's just sometimes it's just not happening. The results aren't there.
4 wins over 2 seasons. That's all you knew as a player up until this point.
Yeah.
And then enter another, we're all Bergen County natives, Bill Parcells. A head coach who the season before had taken the Patriots to the Super Bowl, but lost. But when he first walked through that door or called the first meeting, like, what was your impression of him?
You know, I grew up a Giant fan, so I always wanted to play for him, wanted to be part of that, you know, that championship kind of spirit. And when he came in, things changed. With Rich, you know, he kind of gave a lot of freedom for the veterans to kind of guide the team. Because when he was in Philly, he had like Cunningham and Andre Waters and Jerome Brown and Reggie White. It was just different. When you're losing, it's just tough to maintain that control. And, you know, veterans and guys took advantage of it. You know, it was just tough. But when Bill came in, there was none of that. It's like he kind of cracked the whip. The thing is, he bust chops all the time. But if he didn't bust you, you weren't one of his guys. So he had to mess with you. If he messed with you, you know you were good. But he's the kind of coach that would just cut somebody, a good player at random, during training camp or something, just to be like, oh, all right, we're not all safe here. And, you know, he just had that psychology to make you want to run through a brick wall for him.
I've talked to Lawrence Taylor about that, too, about being busted by him and Phil Simms as well. Like, what did he do to bust you? I assume that he liked your mentality and your work ethic and stuff.
Yeah, well, he's like, Corbett, I know about you, the great Wayne Corbett. Because he's like, listen, I know the lawyers, I know the cops, I know the judges, I know everything you do, Corbett. He told me, if you don't listen to me, your career is going downhill faster than a dump truck with a cement parachute. That's what he said to me. And I was like, geez, man, I was like, that's pretty harsh. But I loved playing for him. And my dream was always to Gatorade him, like watching Harry Carson do it back in the day. And I got a chance to Gatorade him. And it was nice to kind of like give him a little payback.
Yeah, let's talk about the winning now. That you were the Jets' number one targeted wide receiver, number one in reception yards in that AFC Championship game. 98, I believe it was. What's interesting is that it was with most of the same core of players that were on those bad teams. So how do you explain that drastic, fast turnaround?
We definitely got some new talent, some good leadership come in. You know, Vinny came in, who wasn't there for those first 2 years. And just some of his guys, like Byers and Pepper John, just some of his Giants players. And you could see he brought guys from the Patriots to the Jets, to the Cowboys. He had his guys and just played a lot harder, like just played for each other, played for the fans. And that's the kind of year things just kind of fell our way. You know, when you're doing bad, other team fumbles, it goes out of bounds. You know, and you fumble, goes right to them. But when you're doing good and you have good karma, the ball bounces your way, and it's you can see the results from that year.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's not a matter of if, but when Adam Gase gets fired. So I think everybody can agree on that. But based on your career experience, Kotite, reflecting on Parcells, like what qualities do you think that should be at the top of the Jets' next head coaching search?
I don't know. You know, I don't know Coach, you know, Adam's philosophy. I don't, you know, I've seen it practice a couple times. But, you know, sometimes you need a coach that's more reprimanding. I don't know. Sometimes you need a big motivator. Sometimes you need a big X and O guy. But coaching and playing in New York is tough. You know, you're dealing with 20 beat writers. And if you're playing in, like, Green Bay, you got like three beat writers. So, you know, so you just need someone that could deal with that. I think he's done an okay job, but it's just sometimes it doesn't work out. The mix ain't there. And I know Joe Douglas didn't hire him. So if they start fresh, that's what they do. If he stays there, then that's their choice.
The Jets had last year coming in, and then again this year. I think this year it's the second most cap money to spend on free agency. So, I mean, what can the Johnsons do to – I mean, the Meadowlands itself is swampy, but what can it do to make Meadowlands an attractive destination for these players?
Oh, to play in New York? That's awesome. Guys want to come play to New York. The record is what it is. But guys want to come play for the Yankees and Mets. Guys want to come play, you know, for Brooklyn and the Knicks. It's just the best play. If you win in New York, there's nothing like it. You kind of like control everything. You're like the king of New York City. You know, you never wait for a table. You're always first in the club. I mean, it's great when you're winning. So people want to come play there. And as far as the cap money, they didn't go crazy last year. You know, they brought in some good guys, but he gave a lot of one-year contracts, Joe Douglas. And that's good. Because, you know, you want to see the trial if this is a guy that fits into the New York franchise and then sign them, you know, longer term. So I think he did the smart thing doing that, just one-year contracts. But, yeah, I mean, with the amount of draft picks and that they have and the amount of money they have in the cap, you know, they could turn this around very quickly.
Speaking of long-term contracts, Sam Darnold, we're debating all night on the radio about should the Jets sign Sam Darnold long-term or should it be Trevor Lawrence? So do you think Sam Darnold is the guy?
I do. You know, I've always thought that, you know, he had a problem last year with the mono, but when he came back, you know, he led him to 6-2 record. As far as this year, he got hurt in that game, but I mean, you saw what he did on that 40 or 50 yard run. I mean, that's special. Not a lot of guys can do that, but you know, he's got a great ball. He's very smart. You know, I was there the day he signed. I had lunch with him and Chris Johnson. And I just liked his knowledge of Jets history. You know, he's very respectful for me and the former players. I just like that about him. But he has never had a full allotment of receivers and weapons. I mean, Mims hasn't played. Perryman's been out. Jameson's this. Hurting. I mean, just he's never had full complement of weapons. So I'd like to see what he does the rest of the year. I know Mims is back this week. He just hasn't had that. So, you know, I can't really completely judge him, but I've always said he's the next 10 years of Jets football.
Now there's this other name circulating, Trevor Lawrence. And I saw an interesting quote that you had said once. You said, it's sometimes better to go undrafted. You get to decide which team gives you the best chance to succeed. And we've heard the Elway stories and the Manning stories, but you've got Trevor Lawrence at the top of the 2021 draft. If you were him, and I'm not asking for advice for him, but if you were him, knowing what you know, do you think being with the Jets gives him the best chance to succeed?
If you look at, like I say, if you look at the cap space and the draft picks, you see that there's a bright future there. I'm not saying they could turn around in 1 year, but they're rebuilding right now. So if you can see the long-term promise, then you understand that you want to come here. Like I said, people want to play in New York. But if it doesn't work out that way and they trade the pick or they don't have it, you know, either way, they're going to get some good players this year. There's a lot of good, players. You know, I follow college football. So if they get him, that he's a special talent. If not, and they give, you know, option five to Sam.
Yeah.
Then that means he finished the year good. Right. So, you know, tough to decide on now because we really don't know if they're going to have that pick or not. They could end up winning, you know, five, six games in your 10th pick and it doesn't, you know, it's a moot point. It doesn't even matter.
It's campaign season. What would be your campaign slogan for those fans that are wishing to have Trevor Lawrence?
I don't know. It's tough because I hear fans, I listen to talk radio and it's like, you know, if you get the first pick, that means the season, you know, was a loss. So do you really want that? Do you really want to not have a good season in the last 10 games? So if you get that pick, you know, it means it was a tough time the last 10 weeks. And if you don't get the pick, that means, hey, you won some games and you brought some, you know, some joy and something to build on. Right. So it's kind of tough. Which one do you want? I mean, how bad do you want the number one pick? I wouldn't want the number one pick because it means you went, you know, you had the worst record in the league. So right. I'd rather them win as much as possible. And if they get a worse pick, then that's fine by me.
As you know, Wayne, Jets fans are a passionate bunch and you talked about the winning here in New York, but you've obviously experienced losing here in New York.
Were you able to block out that noise, or did it seep in at times?
You're getting asked the same questions every day. What's wrong with you? When are you going to win? What's this? What's that? And playing in New York, you have to deal with that. You got to take the bad. And I say the sweet is never as sweet without the sour. And, you know, sometimes that's just how it is. And for an extended period of time. But you can't let that get to you. I mean, you still got to do your job. You know, you got to play for each other. You have to be able to block that out. Because if not, it will eat you up and drive you crazy. And I was able to do that because I just loved my job. I love playing for the Jets. I never wanted to be anywhere else. So you get used to it.
Right. And 1995 and 96 are very different times than now. So in the age of social media, I would think that's unavoidable today. How do you think social media affects young players in these situations?
It's tough. You know, when I played, it was like, good or bad, you know, you saw it kind of during the week on SportsCenter and stuff like that. Now, every single thing you do, I mean, it's out there before the game even ends. Yeah. So I couldn't imagine dealing with that, you know, just get kind of pounded by social media. But that's just how it is this day and age. And you have to put your big boy pants on. And if, you know, you get the negative all week till you play again, that's just how it is. It's just how the world is now. Everybody sees everything you do. Thank God they didn't have camera phones when I played, you know, but it's just how it is. It comes with it. You want to, like I said, you want to play, you're going to have to deal with that, good or bad.
Poor Daniel Jones this week.
Yeah, I mean, before he even hit the ground, you know, they had memes of him or videos of him. Do you know that they said, as far as miles per hour, he had the fastest in the last 2 years, than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it was like 20 point something miles an hour.
That's very impressive. Yeah, that's very, very impressive. You know, I wonder how fast Sam was going in the I don't really think he was going as far as Daniel. I mean, he looked like he was going to slide, but I was like, wow, I was encouraged by seeing. I was impressed by that 40 yard run.
Yeah, you know, there's probably next gen stats. I could probably find that for you. I'd like to know about that.
Just interesting thing.
Yeah. So finally, entering week 7, sitting at 0-6. Based on your experiences, what offerings of hope could you offer to Jets fans at this point in time?
Like I said, the effort is there. Sometimes it's a shame you're a play away. Sometimes it's just a bad game. So just understand, it is worse for the players than it is for the fans. I know they pay money for the gear and for everything and the true fans. And the true fans will stick with the team. You know, I see a lot of guys, you know, saying on sports radio, they burned all their Jets gear. I mean, that's a little harsh, you know what I mean? But just know that when I was there, I can only speak for myself. You know, I was trying my best for the team, for the fans, for my family and friends. So just understand that. And, you know, just hang in there. Sometimes it's tough to be a Jets fan and a Giants fan, but I think the future is bright.
And those fans can maybe invest in a good old 8-0 jersey. Always good. Yeah. Always my go to.
I bleed green my whole life. I'm loyal to the team. I work for the team. So if you ever ask me, you know, I'm going to be positive about it. You know, I, like I said, I love what they did for me. They gave me a great life. They put me in the Ring of Honor. I feel indebted to them that they gave me the life that I have.
Well, Wayne, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.